Hi, this is Paul Carey from Carey Co. Check out our latest game release, Alley Cat, on iOS and Android. And check out our website at carryco.net. Now I hand you back to Brad and the team at Tech Webcast.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 387 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 23rd of July 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone or Android app. Your hosts today are Brad, Jacob, and myself, Daryl, and our special guest is Mike Costello from Car Advice. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I'm feeling really good today. Yeah.
Stuff, mate. How's the weather down in Mansfield?
In Mansfield, it was lovely and sunny. Well, cold and sunny this morning when I woke up, but now the clouds have sort of rolled in a bit and so it's just cold now, so the sun's gone. Had a lot of heavy rain last night, and it's winter, so what you can't expect much more. It's winter time here in the mountains, so hopefully the rain didn't wash the snow off Mount Buller, so that's the main thing for the economy.
Did you get snow in your street there, Daryl?
Very rarely. I mean, I can remember a couple of occasions when it snowed in Mansfield itself, but it's very rare because we're in a bit of a valley here, so to get it has to get that extra bit colder before the snow settles. I mean, we get sleet at times where you see it in the air, but it doesn't. When it lands, it melts, but it's very rare. It'll be on the hills just out of town. You'll see a dustings of snow, but to actually get it in the town here, it has to be, you know, really super cold. So places like, you know, Ballarat and that, they get snow far more often in the city than what we do here. So although people sort of presume that because Mansfield's near Mount Buller, we must get snow in the town all the time, but actually we don't, you know. But it gets very cold. The frosts are actually much colder here than the snow. Snow's not too bad, but it's the frosts that I hate.
So just for next week's show, just a quick heads up for next week's show, we're going to be actually talking to you, Daryl, about your new podcast.
I've been putting, Brad, when you start a podcast, there's lots of things you've got to do before you can actually launch a podcast. And so I've been sort of putting things together slowly, and then I sort of had my eye surgery, which sort of pushed things back a bit. But, yeah, I'm almost at the stage of starting now. I've just got a couple more things. Like, for example, I've just got to organise some show art, you know, for the that sort of thing, and a bit of intro music, and that's really the last couple of things that I've got to sort of sort out, and then I can sort of start saying, hey, who wants to be on the podcast and get it. But it's, as I've sort of said earlier, it's a bit it's different to Tech Webcast in the sense that it's a one-on-one. So whereas Tech Webcast, we have a panel of hosts at times and we specialize in technology enough. This one's really going to be a one-on-one where the guests bring the topic that they're interested in talking about and what interests them, rather than me specifically being one or two topic podcast.
Okay. All right. We'll hear more about that.
Yeah, no worries.
Week. So cool. You're going to be a guest next week.
I'll be a guest. I'll put my guest hat on.
I can't wait to hear about what motivated you, Daryl, to get into podcasting.
Yeah, no worries. I shall do that, no problem. I'll put my guest cap on next week.
Sounds good, mate. Let's go to Jacob Jones. Welcome back, mate. How's your week been? And looking forward to today's podcast.
Oh, I'm looking forward to today's podcast.
Okay, yep. And what's been happening during the week, mate? Anything exciting? I know you, I gave you a tour of another record shop in Fitzroy yesterday.
Yep. And
Northside Records, it's good. Shout out to them.
I can say one thing.
Yep.
We got Indiana Darrell on here.
Indiana
Darrell. Anything exciting during the week, Jacob? Anything happened during the week, mate?
I made you get a record, an old school record from 1968.
Well, the main reason why I got it was only like $10, so I just, you know, I got it, brought it home and played it and loved it.
I started primary school in 1968, so it's not that old school. Come on.
I still can't believe how Jacob knows about these old bands.
He's got his depth, says Jacob. He's probably been listening. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, he must know a lot about music and that. Yeah, that's good.
Yep. Yeah, because it's my mom, because whenever she's in the car, she's always got it on the oldie station.
We need to get her on the podcast one day.
To talk music.
Yeah, to talk old stuff and that, because I reckon it'd be fantastic to talk to Betty. And I think I remember her saying that she is into technology and computers, I hear.
And a little bit of Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive.
Okay. All right, Jacob, and that's it. That's all you want to say, mate? Your week's been good?
Yeah, I've been crack-a-lacking on my computer.
Good stuff, mate. Mike, how are you? Hey, welcome to the podcast, mate.
Thanks, man.
Good to have you on, mate.
Yeah, mate, it's good to join you guys. I'm currently on a bit of a sojourn in country Western Australia, sitting in a big paddock watching rain clouds over the Darling Ranges. So it's a fairly nice way to spend a morning.
Yeah, definitely, mate, and on the podcast.
Yeah, mate, it's good to be on here. It's good to join you.
Have you done many podcasts, Mike?
Yeah, well, we actually just recently started our Car Advice podcast. We're up to, I think, episode 13, so we're doing that weekly, which is good fun. And I've done a bit of radio stuff for Joy FM in Melbourne for the last couple of years, on and off. So
stuff.
Always loved doing the podcast thing. I was saying to you guys off air, I think once you get into podcasts, it's sort of, they become a bit of an addiction, you know? Yeah. I've got so many that I subscribe to, I can never really keep up.
Good stuff. And make sure you subscribe to this one after you've been on this one.
Oh, mate.
We've had some awesome guests on over this year and more to come. So look out for that.
I hope to live up to their illustrious standards.
Oh, yeah, you do, mate. You do. So, Mike, you're from caradvice.com?
Correct.
And what do you do there?
So I'm a senior editor there. So basically I'm one of the guys entrusted with writing news reviews and comparison tests on all the new vehicles in Australia and doing some video content as well. Okay. Just to make Australia's the world's most competitive and fragmented new vehicle market. And it's pretty difficult if you're out there researching a car. What do you want to buy? What do you need? And we just try and make it a bit easier for people. So there are worse things to do for a penny.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. All right, we'll hear more about what you do in a second, Mike. So let's go to the news, Daryl, and we'll come back.
No worries.
And here we go. Here is this weird voice from America.
This week's Tech Webcast News is brought to you by Furious Marketing. Need a new website for your business? Visit furiousmarketing.com and mention the podcast to receive a discount. Now, back to you, Brad.
And, Mike, before we get into this, what's your view on that voice?
I actually really like it. I mean, I kind of wish I had that sort of baritone timbre to my voice. Yeah, it's good. Good
it
accent.
It sort of reminds me a little bit of Casey Kasem. I don't know if you might, who used to do the hit parade, you know, the top 20 or the top in the US. He was famous in the US as a radio. He sort of, the voice reminds me a little bit of Casey Kasem. This is the top 100 for this week, you know.
It's really funny. I've watched some people that work for radio stations do the radio voice over the years in the cubicles, and they put on the most incredible facial expressions when they do them. It's like their entire body changes. It's remarkable.
Yep.
Now, Jacob, is that a computer voice or is that written out? How did you do that?
Actually, I think that's a YouTuber I know.
Is it really?
I think it's a real voice. Yeah, it's a real voice. It's it's a US accent, but it's a real. But it's like anything in sort of, you know, theatre and doing voiceovers. if you look at someone, their faces are really extreme because they're opening their mouths really wide to get it out.
Voice. Yeah. Sort of text reading voice. I don't know. But anyway, news.
It's a good text. Go ahead. The first news item, this one's from Silicon Beat.
Tech Webcast News is brought to you by Furious Marketing. Need a new website for your business? Visit FuriousMarketing.com and mention the podcast to receive a discount. Now, back to you, Brad.
That voice again. He was there again. Silicon Beat was the first news story, and it's Yahoo may sell to Verizon early next week. Report Silicon Beat. Yahoo's sale of core assets could come within days, with Verizon, the leading contender, and two companies discussing a price of $5 billion, reports based on anonymous sources suggest. A deal could cap months of speculation and would also be a bad deal for the buyer, according to a prominent former Wall Street Journal reporting. Verizon, if it buys Yahoo, would acquire Yahoo real estate, but not its patents, CNBC reported Friday. The advisors overseeing the Yahoo sale are now dealing solely with Verizon and are close to a potential deal in the negotiations, according to CNBC. Troubled Yahoo, which put itself up for sale in February, and telecommunications giant Verizon have been talking about a $5 billion purchase price, Bloomberg reported, citing an unnamed source. So it looks like Yahoo may soon know where Yahoo is heading. The next one is from Digital Trends. Hungry? This new free app is bringing food porn to an entirely new level. Food porn just got a new platform, Yummy, a social network exclusively devoted to all things food related, is now available for iOS-toting foodies. With a helping of Instagram-inspired features, a dash of Yelp and a pinch of Tinder, Yummy's developers say it integrates the best features from different social networks. The app allows users to share and organize their meals, whether it's home cooked or professionally prepared. Pots are organized by chronological order. A timestamp of when it was shot determined the order, not the posting date and time. And each one can be categorized by cuisine to easily find later. A calendar view will also show users an overview of their food diary. So it looks like a great app for all you foodies out there. The next one is from...
You may want to mute
the
mic.
Yeah, the next one is from The Verge, and that's Pokemon Go. If you haven't heard of that, you must have been living under a rock the last week or so. Pokemon Go breaks App Store record for most first week downloads in history. Pokemon Go, the augmented reality game that might as well be everyone's second job, has become the most downloaded mobile app in its first week of release in the history of the App Store. Apple confirmed the record to The Verge. Although no concrete download numbers have been made available, the app is free-to-play mobile titles from developers Niantic, in collaboration with Pokemon Company, was released on July 5th, in Australia and New Zealand, and a day later in the US. It launched in Japan just yesterday as well. It is no surprise to hear Pokemon Go is breaking records considering its dominant headline for the past 2 weeks. The game has also sat comfortably in Apple's top three and top grossing charts in the App Store, beating out mainstays like Game of War, Candy Crush Saga, Facebook Messenger, and Snapchat. So if you must have been living under a rock if you didn't realise that Pokemon Go was out there. And the last story is from Geek, and it's Capcom is making a new Mega Man game. Will it be a mighty-sized disappointment? Capcom hasn't made a Mega Man game in years, despite the wishes of longtime fans. This is part of the reason Mighty No. 9 exists. People want to play a new Mega Man game. If a recent rumour is to be believed, it appears as if Capcom will finally deliver a new title starring the Blue Bomber. According to inside sources, this new Mega Man game will be based on the upcoming animated series. There will be two versions developed. One will be created by the main Mega Man team over at Capcom for the PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita, Xbox One, and Wii U. The other title is being developed by an undisclosed developer for mobile devices and the Nintendo 3DS. Basically, Capcom is pulling a Sonic Boom with Mega Man. Given how much of a disappointment Mighty No. 9 turned out to be, one would be forgiven for having misgivings about this rumoured Mega Man game. The report says that it will have similar mechanics to previous games in this series, but with high-definition graphics. Mighty No. 9 sports those same features as well, and that didn't exactly help make it a great game. So there we are. Mega Man is on its way. So that is the news.
Great news, Daryl. Great reading, mate. As always, each week, mate. Good on you. Well done.
No worries.
Let's go to Jacob real quick. What's your view on them stories real quick, mate?
Oh, the Verizon? There's going to be a lot of privacy invasion on there. Because when you sell a company, there's a lot of people's information.
Yeah, true.
And that, yeah, I found that out later on because it got like a million, quite a few people still hooked on to Yahoo.
Yeah, right. I don't even use Yahoo. I don't use Yahoo.
And the Pokemon Go, it could be a good app store, be good in the app store. But there's one thing that was terrible. All the accidents, home breaking-ins and stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah, it's been popping up from like Fox News and stuff like that.
Yeah, right. Okay. Interesting. Anything else, Jacob?
Oh, and the Mega Man game better not be crap.
How would Pokemon Go on, go? The game would go on the Apple TV, do you reckon? Would it work or not? Wouldn't work, would it?
No, because you would have to have the GPS. The Apple TV would have to be strapped to your back.
Oh yeah, true. Good point. Yeah, anyway, they should make like a Pokemon Go game for the Apple TV, but not, you know, a version of it, like a different version, sort of maybe.
If they have it for the Apple TV, like have a sister app.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they have like a Pokemon Go app, like it shows TV stuff and that shows that.
No, not like that. Like if you're not around any like gyms or anything, use the Apple TV to train.
Yeah, true. Good point. All right, good stuff, Jacob. Thanks for your opinions, mate, on that. Let's go to Mike. Have you got any using them stories, mate?
I thought that was quite interesting, guys. I actually wasn't even aware that Yahoo was still a thing. I very rarely use Yahoo these days.
Okay, yeah, same. I don't use it at all. I don't really use Yahoo anymore.
The Pokemon Go thing's still spinning me out. I cannot get over. I've got mates who are in their 30s and married with kids who are out there hunting Pokemon, and it feels like it's 1997 all over again. It's very strange.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that all you want to say, Mark, about the stories?
Yeah, for now, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Sounds good. Let's go to Daryl Hunt. Daryl, what's your view on the stories, mate?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's no surprise that Yahoo, I mean, Yahoo's been up for sale for a while. Marissa Meyer, who's the CEO of Yahoo, was an ex-Googler. She was the one that helped develop Google Search back in the day, and then she jumped ship and became CEO of Yahoo, but she hasn't been able to turn around Yahoo's fortunes, and it's been hemorrhaging money and various other things, so it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know what Verizon will do with it, whether they want it just for the databases or whether they but they must have some idea if they're going to spend $5,000. But although $5,000 sounds a lot of money, I mean, back in the day, I mean, Yahoo was a Goliath, and it was worth far, far more than $5 billion, but it's just faded away, and as most people say, they don't use Yahoo much anymore. So it'll be interesting to see in America what Verizon does with Yahoo if it does purchase it. The new food app, well, that's good for foodies. I mean, you know, if you're interested in your food and you want to do more than just take a picture and drop it onto Instagram of what you've been eating, this app sounds really cool. So if you're into your food, worth grabbing a copy of it.
Just a question about that, Daryl, just everyone here. Daryl, do you take photos of your food?
Oh, very rarely. I do occasionally, but say if I was out and if I had something that was unusual that I don't normally have, I might just say, hey, I was had this and it was really good. Try it if you get a chance. But no, not very rarely do I take pictures of food. I don't mind looking at people's pictures of food. I'm not anti it. It's just I very rarely do it. I never really sort of think about it. I sort of, after I've eaten, I might think, oh, I could have, you know, but
it's you've seen my feed picture. I had a taco yesterday for lunch. Yep. It was quite nice.
Yeah, I quite enjoy looking at food pictures, you know, and seeing what people are eating and what they enjoy. But I tend to forget myself to do it. But I took those pies the other week when you asked about it. You know, remember last Saturday I had a couple of pies afterwards, and so I put those up there. So, but that, that's about it.
How were them pies, by the way?
They were good. They were yummy. I enjoyed them. Yes, I did put sauce on them afterwards when you were saying, you know, where's the sauce? But I did put tomato sauce on them after I'd taken
it. You'd say, where's the dead horse?
The dead horse. Oh, yeah, dead horse. Yeah, the old dead horse. Put some dead horse on it, would you? And there's a laneway not far away from where I live in Mantua called Dead Horse Lane. So there's your, there's your trivia for the day, Dead Horse Lane. So just out of town here in Mansfield, so just on the edge of town. So that was that one. Well, I think it used to be I don't know if it was a knackery or what it was way back in the 19th century, but something to do with it anyway. That's why I don't know why, but someone tried to get the name changed, but all the people said no, it's unique, leave it alone. So it remained Dead Horse Lane. Verge, the Pokemon Go. Well, I think most people, even if you're not into gaming, would have heard about Pokemon Go. It was in every sort of media outlet this last week or two, and it, you know, it didn't surprise me that it broke the App Store's record. It's really interesting, you know, whether this is the lead into sort of augmented reality. And you know, sometimes these technologies start off with a game and the game becomes super popular. It gives people an idea of what augmented reality means. And so other app developers who may be using it for sort of more serious pursuits, it may help them in the long run because people get used to seeing it on a game and then think, oh, yeah, it's augmented reality, you know. So, it'll be really interesting. And anybody who watched in Australia, who watched, I think it was Late Line the other night with Tony Jones here in Australia, he did a special on virtual reality, and he had one of those big, well, I don't know whether it was an Oculus Rift because I came in partway through, but he was actually with a guy that's developing a lot of software, and he was jumping all over the place and looked through virtual reality, and it looked really cool. So you can see even when the ABC are starting to show programs about virtual reality.
I find it really strange now that how people are on Twitter now all the time. Twitter's getting big and Snapchat, and back a few years later, people weren't on it, you know?
Yeah, some social media platforms and things, they burst out and people use them, and then something else comes along and people, you know, remember back to MySpace, and when MySpace was in its heyday, if someone had said to you, oh, in a few years' time, MySpace will have disappeared, everyone would look at you and say, what are you smoking, you know? But It means that, you know, the new thing comes out and a lot of people, you know, try out the new thing. But, yeah, virtual reality, even showing it on the ABC, it was quite interesting because, and Tony Jones, you know, usually just does politics and all that. He's got the headset on and he was being shown around different virtual worlds and from this developer's perspective, and it was quite interesting. So it shows it's sort of moving into the mainstream now. And the last one... It was Capcom. I mean, Jacob's probably more at Mega Man than I am, but let's hope that it's obviously better than the previous incarnation. But I don't know a lot about Mega Man as far as the game goes. So that's...
I like what you were saying. Sorry, mate, you go.
Would you like me to fill you in just a little bit?
Yeah, you can, because it was all Mega Un for me.
Well, Mega Man... is a series that where he has to fight off evil robots made by Dr. Wily.
Ah, okay.
So Dr. Wily, in every episode you see like four or five robots, but sometimes you see the same robots like Cutman, Iceman, stuff like that, and Gutsman, which he has the power to lift things over his head like a big bodybuilder.
Cool.
And so, even got a rendition of Bomberman in there.
All right, go ahead, Mike. What were you gonna say, mate?
No, I was going to say, well, you were talking about virtual reality and augmented reality before, and I was just going to say it's actually got quite a lot of use in the car industry, which is my industry. We're talking to a guy last week on the Car Advice podcast, who's a senior research fellow at QUT, saying they're working on augmented reality projections on car windscreens. So with autonomous vehicles becoming more and more mainstream, the key is to keep people engaged and looking at the road rather than looking at their laps. And so you can actually project any kind of augmented reality onto the windscreen and do things like that. And I actually, with the virtual reality side of things, I was at a design center for a big car brand recently where I put on the big helmet and was immersed in another world, and they use it to design the ergonomics of a car cabin. So you sit in a virtual cabin and you can move around the components in this virtual world by using... You wear these gloves and this headset, and you can actually work out what the ergonomics are like without having to actually build a replica of the car cabin. So this stuff is being used for really sort of serious research as well. It's a really interesting realm.
Yeah, on Tony Jones's program, he then interviewed a guy who was one of the fat pioneers of developing the heads-up display for fighter pilots in the US. And that sort of, and he's been involved, and this guy had been involved in augmented reality, and he was talking about the, you're right, he's talking about all the possibilities and how he actually designed, you know, exactly the heads up display so that the pilot, when the pilot was turning his head, he didn't lose contact with what he was aiming at, or so that it just followed his view around. And but yeah, it's a really interesting technology, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, once it gets into the mainstream, all the uses for it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing, and I don't know. I think the Pokemon thing is great because it's kind of it's introducing people who aren't particularly tech savvy to the idea of it, and then you know it'll only be get more and more mainstream. Pokemon will be a flash in the pan, but there'll be a million things to follow. So it's pretty cool.
Exactly, because you know when you talk to people who are not you know tech geeks or not into technology every day, and you mention terms like virtual reality, augmented reality, you know, understandably it's sort of people's eyes glaze over or their eyes roll back in their head. They you know, they've not been used to it. They don't know even know what it means. But if they use Pokemon Go, even if they still don't know that it's augmented reality, once someone explains to them and says, hey, this is partly augmented reality, and so the next time the term's used, those people out there will have a much better understanding of it.
Exactly.
All right, Daryl, who do we have on today, Matt, as a guest?
We have from Car Advice, we have Costello? Is that right, Costello? Costello?
It is indeed. Spot on.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I had your name right. And so you guys do sell cars and that through, you know, as I say, through virtual reality, through the intertubes. And so I guess this sort of virtual reality stuff must be sort of gaining your interest in new ways that you could, you know, promote and sell cars online.
Well, we are not quite. We don't sell cars. We basically do reviews, news, and comparison tests on cars. So, so we can inform people who are in the market for cars what the best vehicle is. But the virtual reality stuff, I mean, from our perspective, it's super interesting purely because there's a real convergence happening between automotive and, I guess, what you would have, you know, conventionally considered technology. So whether it's vehicle autonomy, whether it's infotainment and in-car tech and connectivity and things, there's a real convergence. And cars are basically becoming just bits of technology themselves. The days of analog cars are certainly no more. So from my perspective, as a person who covers the car industry, you basically have to be a tech-savvy kind of person as well just to understand what the hell's going on half the time.
I could imagine with a virtual reality, if you know virtual reality comes to the mainstream, I could imagine you could, if you're doing a review of a car, you could have, you know, the person looking at your review, actually, you could walk them through the car. They could actually be sitting in the front seat and, you know, looking at the controls. And as you're explaining to them or you're reviewing the various elements of the car, they could really be immersed in it.
Yeah, one of the really useful ways we can even do that now that's a bit more lo-fi is the Facebook Live video thing. And there's a few other of those sort of live video apps that have gotten around. And that's really handy as well and good for engagement. And mate, the whole industry and the whole way that you convey information moves so quickly that it's, you got to stay on top of these things, and you either keep moving or you die, basically.
Well, it must be with, you know, and you think of, you know, electric cars coming and Tesla and it's just, again, it's technology moving into the car space. And he said you almost need to have a degree in information technology to be able to drive a car now.
Oh, the Teslas are unbelievable cars. I mean, when you're, especially in the autopilot mode, the way they can essentially drive themselves now. I know it's been in the news for sort of the wrong reasons lately, with the accident that happened in America a few weeks ago. But I mean, just the notion that you've got cars now that can drive. And I don't know about you, but you see a lot of bad drivers out there. And if there's a way to, you know, take more responsibility out of the hands of those dodgy drivers and put it into a computer algorithm that can actually handle a car, it's pretty promising, I reckon.
Yeah, and I think even with the issues, and you would expect that with some brand new technology like that, there's going to be issues. But I mean, if you go back, if you've ever looked back at the historic, the history of cars, when the first cars came out, a person had to walk in front of them with a red flag. You know, because the people were fearful that they'd either get run over or that they would frighten, you know, because most people then were riding horses and carts and various other things. They were worried that the car might spook the animal. So the person had to actually walk in front of the car with a red flag to warn people that the car was approaching. So you can imagine that, you know, that eventually people became to trust that cars weren't that bad. And I guess with this, you know, once people get the realisation that the computer isn't going to break down or isn't going to drive them off the bridge, then they'll come to accept that you don't have to be physically having your hands on the wheel all the time.
Well, the way you think about it, I actually spoke to I was over in Sweden a couple of weeks ago speaking with some Volvo engineers, and Volvo is obviously on the cutting edge of vehicle safety. It's one thing that brand hangs its hat on. And she was saying not to think of it as driverless, but to think of it as autonomous. So it's a bit like a plane. You know, you're responsible for some of the things, and you need to be, as a pilot, keeping an eye on things, and you're ultimately in control. But you can put it in autopilot and let it fly itself 99% of the time, and you just need to be paying attention just in case something happens. And if you think of it like that, it's perfectly fine. What we don't want is, you don't want people in the back seat having a snooze or reading War and Peace while their car's driving. You want a happy medium.
Yeah, I mean, there's talk of, you know, the cars coming, you know, eventually with fully automated cars that, you know, that maybe in the big cities, instead you're getting towards the city and you think, oh, I'm not going to drive into the city. You just get to a certain spot and the car will, you know, you'll, an app on your phone or whatever device it is, you'll call, an autonomous vehicle will pull up at the sidewalk, you'll get in, you'll put your credit card in to pay whatever the distance you're travelling, it'll take you there, you'll get out, it'll then drive off to pick up the next person. I mean, that was sort of Google's.
Your car into a money-making machine.
Well, I mean, it would be Uber sort of thing without the driver. I mean, it would be an automated Uber type thing, and I think that's what's one of the things that Google with its, you know, driverless, if you like, cars is one of the things it's looking at, is that, you know, why not have cars that just, instead of people driving into the city, you know, you get, you know, you might train it into a certain spot and then you know, you just go to a spot and the car will pull up, you'll get in, you'll punch in what, you know, your destination, it'll drive you there, you'll pay, get out the car, or then zoom off to pick up someone else.
Yeah, exactly right. That's what they're working on. And thinking of cars as being a shared appliance rather than an individual thing. I think the days, you know, in 50 years' time, I suspect the notion of everyone owning their own car will be a defunct thing. I don't think it'll be the case, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can, because of the increase in population that's going to happen in the next 50 years, and particularly in the big cities. If everybody still owned their own car, imagine, you know, you couldn't build freeways fast enough to get traffic in and out of the city. And even, yeah, so I think there's going to it's going to be part of, I reckon, a lot of packages that'll change the way people think of commuting.
Exactly.
Got a question for you, mate. What's your view on Uber? What's your view on Uber, mate?
I actually quite like Uber. I use Uber a fair bit. Just because, look, Uber's good for two reasons. I mean, one, there's a lot of fear-mongering around Uber, which makes me like it more, because you know, the fact that it's shaking up the establishment's a good thing. And on the rare occasions that I catch taxis now, I notice taxis are cleaner and the drivers are nicer because they're afraid of competition because they finally have some. And that was what was lacking from the taxi industry all along, competition. So competition's never a bad thing. And Uber itself is a great model because it's basically empowering people to make money. It's a self-leveling system. You know, there's too many drivers out there, it naturally falls away and vice versa. There are times where it's too expensive when the surge prices kick in. There's obviously been some issues. But as far as I'm aware, Uber's pretty careful with who it chooses to drive, the quality of the cars that it chooses. Look, I don't see too many negatives with it. I think it's another example of Silicon Valley kind of shaking up traditional businesses. And yeah, there's a lot of stomping and complaining about it from existing corporations in the field. But, I mean, the sympathy for taxis has got to be limited, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've never since I've been using Uber, I've never actually caught a taxi for probably about a year ago.
Yeah, and that's understandable. The only reason I catch taxis is if I'm coming home from the airport. You know, it's a pain in the butt to get an Uber from there. You've kind of got to work around the system. So taxis are easier there. But, you know, it's 50% more expensive to catch a taxi sometimes, and I don't see why it's worth it.
I think the main sticking point and the main argument has been that with taxis, that the taxi industry, that like the individual taxi companies and that, they had to pay massive amounts of money to the state governments for taxi licenses, like, you know, $300,000-$400,000 for a license and or more. And of course, it's the two things. Uber doesn't have to pay a license. And the second point is it makes their license fee, which they use as an investment. So when a taxi driver retires, they can then sell on their license and it becomes part of like their superannuation. It virtually wipes out the value of that license. And I think if, you know, I certainly support, you know, I support Uber, but I think the government needs to look at, and I think they are of compensating taxi companies for the license fees that they've paid, because, you know, it is unfair that they've paid several hundred thousand dollars and then all of a sudden Uber comes along and they don't have to pay anything. And these licenses, if you're an individual taxi driver on your own and you've paid $300,000 or $400,000 for a license, now your license is basically worthless. There goes your superannuation for when you retire. So that's my only gripe. I think that if the governments fairly compensate the taxi industry for what happened when Uber appeared to their license fees, then I think go for it.
100%. One idea I heard, I think the Baird government, New South Wales, might have been the ones that flagged this, but essentially taking a small amount of money from every single Uber trip and putting it into a fund that can then compensate taxi drivers. Yep. I think if you took a dollar from every single Uber trip taken, like a levy, and put it into a communal fund, it would they projected over the course of 4 or 5 years, it would be enough to compensate every taxi plate to about $30,000-$40,000.
Yep.
So I think something like that. And if you told me I had to pay a buck for every extra, you know, for every Uber trip I took extra to compensate cabbies, I'd be happy to do that. You know,
it sounds like a user pays levy. It sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
And tell us about the car sales and that sort of thing, Mike.
Well, yeah, it's really interesting this year. So in 2015, we had the all-time biggest year for new vehicle sales in Australia's history. So more than 1.1 million new vehicles were sold. So basically one in 20 people bought a new vehicle last year. And this year, halfway through the year, it's actually ahead of last year. So we're on track for another all-time record. We're going to push 1.2 million sales, which when you think about that, one in every 20-odd people, or maybe one in every 25 people buying a car every single year, and this is new cars, this doesn't include used cars, is pretty amazing. And so right now, at the halfway point of the year, they've sold 600,000 cars. Most of those are either passenger vehicles or SUVs, so they're basically 4x4s, and light commercial utility vehicles are about 1/6 of that as well. Australia's a really interesting market. It's actually the world's most competitive car market. So of that 1.2 million sales, there's about 70 different brands competing for those sales. To give you some context, in America, there's about 13 times the number of cars sold, but only half the number of brands competing for those sales. So in Australia, it's really intensely fought, and cars are actually really quite cheap in Australia if you do it on a sort of like-for-like basis. people, there's quite a few interesting trends out there at the moment. With the cheap fuel that we've got at the moment compared to a couple of years ago, light cars and small cars and hybrid cars are just not selling. Their sales are actually quite a bit down. And bigger SUVs, so things like the Mazda CX-5 and the Toyota RAV4 and even big ones like Land Cruisers are actually selling in really, really big numbers, in record numbers. So it's quite interesting to see the trajectory of the two. And the SUV is fast becoming the, I guess, the default form of transport for people.
Nice one. Okay. Jacob, any questions?
I have one, but you probably might not have an answer.
Do you, go for do it.
You just get a lot of questions about Hummers?
Mate, Hummer is a pretty popular brand, actually. You know, Hummer's actually not around anymore. General Motors actually shut down Hummer during the global financial crisis because it just wasn't making money anymore. So, unfortunately, you can't buy new Hummers anymore. But you do still see some of the old ones kicking around. And you know what? I wouldn't be half surprised if at some point General Motors actually brought that brand back.
Just like Scion.
Yeah, exactly right. They Toyota discontinued Scion last year as well. That was Toyota, which is a bit of a sort of, I guess Toyota's reputation is sort of safe but a little bit boring. They launched a brand called Scion to try and appeal to younger, edgier buyers, and it failed spectacularly and got shut down in disgrace last year. So exactly right.
I know of a good car company.
Oh yeah. Which one?
Oh, say it. Come on.
Fiat.
Fiat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, Fiat, the Italian brand. It's funny when you go to Italy, all you see is Fiat 500s and Fiat Pandas and Fiat Puntos. Yeah. I think Fiat wins the award for having the best car names. The Fiat Panda has to be a winner, right?
My dad drives a Fiat.
Oh, cool.
Two-door.
Yeah, no, they're a stylish car. The Italians, they know how to do style, that's for sure.
So what do you think will happen when the Australian industry, like the actual manufacturing, closes down? Do you think there'll be a big change, or do you think things will just move on as they always have?
Well, you know, I think so basically it got announced quite a while ago that the three local manufacturers were going to close their factories here, and it's about to actually happen. So Ford's factory closes in a few months in October, and then Holden and Toyota follow in October of next year. But sales of Australian-made cars have been declining for a very, very long time. You know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, the Commodore and the Falcon were, you know, 50% of the market. Now they're not even 1%. It's tiny. And it's just the nature of the modern world that people aren't as patriotic about their purchases anymore, and they've got more options. And I don't think it's really going to impact things too much. I think the car culture in Australia has changed a lot. The days when everybody was married to being either a Ford person or a Holden person, it's a lot rarer now than it was. I think it's, you know, it's obviously a very big shame economically to lose manufacturing jobs in Australia. But, you know, the car brands have been quite good with giving them a lot of lead time, a lot of notice that they were going to close. And they've actually been spending a lot of money retraining their employees so they can get jobs in other industries. Whether they will or not remains to be seen. But I think the one sad thing as a car enthusiast that I am is that cars like the Holden Commodore Ute and Ford Falcon Ute and these sorts of vehicles, there's nothing else like them in the world. I mean, you know, I drive cars from all over the planet, and the Australian-made ones really are quite unique. They've got a very different suspension tune. They've got a different body design. And when they go, there will be no cars like them. And it's sort of a shame to lose that character. And it's not just Australians that think that. You know, in America, there's a real cult following for Australian cars as well. So, yes, it's a very sad day, but this is the sad reality of the modern world. If you can't make money doing something, they just can't do it.
Yep.
And I got one more for you.
Go ahead, Jake. Then we need to wrap up, mate.
No, it's just one more car company. Oldsmobile. The Oldsmobile car.
Come on.
I did.
Oldsmobile. Hey, a classic. You know, they never sold Oldsmobile in Australia. It's a real shame because it's one of those famous American brands that is kind of iconic in a lot of ways. And I love the name Oldsmobile. It's you sound like you're a bit of a General Motors fan, mate, because Hummer and Oldsmobile are both part of the General Motors family.
Yeah, because on my radio, I have a Hummer sitting on my desk.
Oh, brilliant.
And a Dodge Viper.
Oh, mate, the big V10 Dodge Viper. You can't go wrong. Classic muscle car.
That's it. And, Mark, where can they get hold of you if they have any more questions for you, mate, before we wrap up the podcast and that sort of thing?
Mate, if you go to caradvice.com to have a read of all our car reviews and watch our videos as well. We've got a heap of videos there to watch. And you can also email contact us at caradvice.com. I believe is the communal address if you want to contact us. Let me double check that one for you guys. Send it to editorial@caradvice.com.au.
Too easy. And have you driven a Tesla before? Have you driven a Tesla?
I actually have, yeah. I've driven the Tesla P90D, which is the top spec Tesla, and it's an unbelievable bit of kit. The thing that really gets you about the Tesla is just the sheer pace of the thing. It's one of the fastest cars from 0 to 100 k's you'll ever drive, because with an electric car, all the torque is available from 0 rpm. In other words, you press the throttle and it's all there. And so it's just an unbelievable machine. Yeah.
Hey, how do you organize a test drive? How do you, like, for a ride in one, how do you organize one?
Well, we organise them. Basically, car companies have what's called the press evaluation fleet. So, you know, car companies obviously enjoy it if we're interested in reviewing their vehicles, because, you know, obviously people want to read what we have to say about their cars. So for us, we have access to press evaluation vehicles.
Okay.
But you know, you sort of have to have an established position in the industry as a car publication to get those.
Okay.
But I believe with Tesla, there are ways, if you're an interested buyer, to actually go and express interest and have a crack in one of the cars as well.
I just have a riding one.
I reckon if you went along to the Tesla, to the main Tesla store and asked for a crack, they'd probably let you have a poke around for sure.
Okay. All right. Mm. We'll see how we go. Daryl Hunt, what's your final view of the show? Mike, are you on Twitter at all, Mike?
I am. I'm actually twitter.com, and my handle is Costello Mike J, letter J.
Okay, sweet. All right. Follow him on Twitter. Daryl, back to you, mate.
Yeah, great show. And thanks for Mike for being a great guest. And you can find me at Learnscape on the Twitters. And at Google Plus, you can find me at Daryl Hunt, plus Daryl Hunt at the Google Pluses.
Good stuff, mate. Next week, you'll be on as a guest.
Yeah, I'll take my co-host hat and put it in the drawer and put my guest hat on and take it out of the drawer.
Does it say actually say guest on it?
No, I'll have to get one made up. Tech Webcast guest hat.
Okay, give me on Twitter, Brad. I was on the Tech Webcast. Jake, what about you, mate?
Oh, this is always a good podcast. You can follow me at JazzBot326691Z.
Good stuff. You got me on Twitter, Brad. I was on the Tech Webcast. Make sure you download the podcast on iTunes, and please rate us on iTunes and leave us feedback and share the podcast. Thanks to Corey. He shares the podcast every week. He's a legend, Corey. That guy. He is a legend. Yep. Thanks, Mark, for being on, mate. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It's been great.
Good to have you on. Thanks, guys. See you next week, Daryl.
See you next
and
week, everybody.
Yep. Next week.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha, stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha, ha. Tech Webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer. Boom!